Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Amalek Simen. There are many Mefarshim that discuss the Simen that the Gemara gives Amalek. The Amalek that we're learning in the Gemara actually stands for what we're going to be discussing in our shir today. We're going to be discussing in our shir today, Orev Malva Lekeach Kablin, and those are some of the subjects that we're going to discuss. But the many Mefarshim that troubled by the fact that the Gemara mentions Amalek, which we're not supposed to think about, certainly not in a positive way in our sugya. And that's why they suggest to remove the Amalek from the Gemara. I did see, however, that the Yavetz discusses this, and he says that we know that the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Bnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bnei Barak, that there was some kedusha in Amalek. His descendants learned Torah in Bnei Barak, and since we see that kedusha in the descendants of Amalek, we could find a place for him in the Gemara as well. Others suggest the pasuk says that loy tishkach timcha zeich Amalek, loy tishkach. But they explain that there's a separation between the loy and the tishkach. In certain circumstances, they should be remembered, and that is in the case of our Gemara, perhaps, which teaches us the simon through Amalek. So begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan Orev. If somebody is a guarantor on a loan, made Leloiva, he may say testimony on behalf of the person who owes the money. So what the Gemara is saying is that if somebody is a guarantor and the person who owes the money will not have the ability to pay, if the Leloiva won't have to pay, the ability to pay, they're going to go after the guarantor. But teaches us the Gemara that if the loiva has other property, so there's no reason for them to have to go after the guarantor. If there's no reason for them to go after the guarantor, so therefore the Ariv could be the aid on this loan. So Rishonim ask that why is that so? Even if the Ariv on the loan is aware that the loiva has the ability to pay off this loan, how does he know that this loiva doesn't have other loans? And if this loiva has other loans, then he will be approached to pay off the loan. Why should we not be concerned for this? So the Rashbam explains that even if he knows, not only do we need to be concerned about something we don't know, but says the Rashbam, even if he knows that there is another loan, there's only that much that you have to be worried about. So he has to be worried, indeed, as we're learning. He has to be worried that maybe they're going to come after him. But even though he's worried that they're going to come, but if he knows that the Malva has the ability to pay off the loan, the fact that there could be all sorts of different situations, that's not something that he has to be so concerned. So the bottom line is that there's only that much that you have to be worried about. The halacha isn't concerned for all sorts of eventualities. Next, malva made leloiva. If the loiva has property, the malva could say that this property belongs to the loiva. Vahu, again, this leach arachrita. Here too, the concern is that why is the malva saying testimony on behalf of the loiva? He's saying testimony on behalf of the loiva because he knows that if the loiva has this property, he'll be able to collect. But if the loiva will not have this property, so he won't have where to collect from. So as long as the loiva has other property. So then the malva is not saying it because of his own personal negius, as we keep on repeating in our speaking in our shurim about being on the gei be'edus. It's not considered that he's a negay be'edus, because he's not saying it because he's worried that he wouldn't have where to collect from. Lekeich rishon, if somebody bought property from somebody else, made lekeich sheni, he could say testimony on behalf of the next person who bought property from the same person, that this property belonged to the seller and was sold to him, and not to anyone that may be contesting that. And again, that the seller has other property, or that the person who bought it second has other property, and therefore he we're not concerned that he's saying something that's true. And again, the halacha is that if somebody has his properties mortgaged, so if the Baal Chayiv comes to the loiva and the loiva doesn't have the ability to pay, we go after the people who bought property from him. But there's an order whom we go after. We go after the last buyer first. So the first buyer is interested, that the second buyer should keep this property. Because then, if somebody's going to come collect, then he's going to go after the buyer. He's going to go after that person, not after who's the lekeich sheni, the second buyer, versus going after him, who he is the first buyer. The halacha is, if that second buyer has other properties, or the person who is the loiva has other property, in both of these cases, he knows that he's protected. And therefore, when he's not considered as a negei bedavar. The Rishonim and Achronim speak about a number of discussions, halacha. We're saying over here that an Orev could say testimony if the loiva has other property. What's going to be halacha? Could the malva say testimony on behalf of the Orev? And the Ramban says, again, if the Orev has other properties from where the loan that he guaranteed could be collected, then he could say testimony. But if he doesn't have other property, then we could say that the malva is saying this testimony, so he should have where to collect from, and he will not be believed. The Yeshua Yisrael says that when we're saying in our Gemara that the Orev could say testimony on behalf of the loiva, if the loiva has other properties, that's only in a situation, as we've been discussing in our entire perek, where somebody's contesting the ownership of the loiva of those properties. And as we said, that even if the property, if he has other property, then we believe him. But the question is, what will be the halacha about an Orev saying testimony about a loan having been paid? So that is a new consideration. When the Orev is saying that this loan has been paid, he's certainly protecting himself, because like that, they won't be able to go after him because the loan is already paid off. So the Yeshua Yisrael suggests that under those circumstances, the Orev would not be believed. You can't believe the Orev, and that has nothing to do if he has other properties or doesn't have other properties. In this situation, there's much more of a concern that the Orev has a reason to protect him. The Gemara also just discussed a lekeich rishon being saying edus for lekeich sheni, as long as lekeich sheni has arach rita. So as we explained, why is the lekeich rishon considered a negei bedov if he doesn't have property? Very simple, because if the Rashbam says, if the lekeich rishon won't have property, then if the lekeich sheni won't have property, then they're going to go after the lekeich rishon, and that's why he's in the negei be'edus unless he has other properties. So explains Tosfos, even if he has other property, there's always a concern that he won't have enough property to cover what he has to. And therefore he says, not because of the Baal Chayv is the concern, he wants that the property should remain with Lekeach Sheni, because he prefers that if somebody contests it, he should be in a stronger position. So the Gemara spoke about a Lekeach Sheni saying testimony for the Lekeach Rishon. The Taisus asking in the name of the Rashbab, why does the Gemara speak about a case of Lekeach Rishon saying testimony for Lekeach Sheni? Why can't we have that the Lekeach should say testimony for the Meicher? That means if I bought property from the Meicher, who also has debts, there's a mortgage on this property that I bought, so I have a vested interest to say that this property, that the Meicher, the property that's being contested, that's at with the Meicher, is the Meicher's property, because otherwise they're going to come after me. So why doesn't the Gemara, the Rishonim, as I said, Taisus quoting the Rashba, ask why doesn't the Gemara mention that case? So says the Prishop that the Gemara is coming to tell us a Chiddush, that not only would of course the halacha be that a lekeach could only say edus for the meicher v'hu de islay arach rita, but even for the lekeach sheni, he could only say testimony im yesh lo karka acheres, which we would say that that's more removed. So Gemara tells us then even then he can't say. But the Ktzai says a very bechidish. The Ktzai says that the Gemara is very deliberate in mentioning this example, and not speaking about a lekeach saying testimony for a meicher. Because the Ktzai says that a lekeach can never say testimony for a meicher, even if the meicher has other property. We've been learning the Islay Arach Rita, all the examples that we learned in today's shir, you could say testimony if the person who you're saying testimony for has Arach Rita. But here, it wouldn't help this Le'ara Chrita, because he's so interested in protecting the property that he's holding on to. So the Merkavas HaMishnah has a different teretz to this question. Merkavas HaMishnah says that maybe what the Gemara is saying is that if the Lekeach Rishon is saying testimony for Lekeach Sheni, what does he see now? That this Lekeach Sheni is a person who's being accused of as being an individual who's stealing property. Once he sees that that's this type of individual, he now may become concerned that all the properties that this Lekeach Sheni has are stolen property. And therefore, in order to protect himself, he's going to say testimony for this Lekeach Rishon, because he's really suspicious of that individual. Teaches us the Gemara that you don't have to be concerned for that. The Kais Yeshuas says that there's more of a chiddush with the Lekeach Sheni than with the Meicher, because he explains that when we think about the Meicher, if he didn't sell all of his properties, what is he showing us? What he's showing us is that he's concerned that he should have the ability to pay what he owes from. But he doesn't see that type of behavior from the Lekeach Sheni. And therefore, Lekeach Sheni is a more of a chiddush than the Lekeach, than saying the halach of the Meicher. And that's why the Gemara chose to speak about that individual. When we speak in Shas about an Orev, which we started the shiur today with a guarantor, there's somebody known as an Orev Kablin. An Orev Kablin is an individual who normally, the halacha is that we go after the loiva, and if the loiva doesn't have the ability to pay, we go after the orif. But in a case where there's a kablin, the definition of a kablin is that you could go after the orif kablin as equally as you could go after the loiva. So what's going to be the halacha of an orif kablin about saying testimony? Amrilo Shemeid, some say that he can't say testimony on behalf of the loiva that has property. The Amrilo, and some say that he can't say testimony on behalf of the loiva. And the Gemara explains itself. Amrilin made, some say that he could say testimony. He's no different than the Arif. And if this loiva has other property, the Arif Kablan says he could pay. He could be paid for that property, so we could believe what he say. We're not considering him a negay by Eidus. But there's an opinion that says ain't made, that he can't say testimony. The nichle will have a biyada tavayu. He prefers that even if the loiva has other property, has a property, he's anxious that this loiva should have more than one property. Why? The chiyas ba'hoiv may debay shakel. So the Pash Pshat in the Gemara is that they're going to go after, they could go after the loiva, and since he's an Arif Kablan, they could go after the Arif Kablan. So since they could go after either, the Arif Kablan, the Gemara is concerned, this opinion, is going to try to create a situation that the Malva should be more anxious to go after the loiva, and rather than going after him. So the more properties that the loiva has, the more of a likelihood that they're going to go after the loiva versus him. So the fact that he has a property from which to pay is insufficient to protect himself. He wants that the loiva should have more than one property to make him the place that the malva is going to go to, and therefore this opinion says that he can't. The Rishbam goes on to speak about all these properties have to be beinonis, because the halacha throughout Shas is, the Gemara very often discusses from where could you collect different obligations. And the Gemara opinion, the Gemara says that the halacha is a bal choiv to collect from beinonis. So if a bal choiv can only collect from beinonis, so even if the Arif Kablan, by saying his testimony, will only leave Zaburius in the possession of the loiva, that's not considered as if the loiva has property, because the malva knows that he's entitled to beinonis, and he's going to come to the loiva, and the loiva doesn't have beinonis. The loiva only has Zaburius, so he's going to go after the Arif Kablan, who does have beinonis. The entire discussion, if we could even have a discussion, if he could go after the Arif Kablan could say Eidus, even according to the opinion that he can, it's only in a case, in a situation where the loiva has Zaburius. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, what's going to be the halacha if he doesn't have he doesn't have Beinonis, but he has Idjus. Will the Arif Kablan not be able to say Eidus? Because again, the Baal Choyv is really only entitled to Beinonis. And if the Loiva doesn't have Beinonis, he only has Idjus, he's going to go after Arif Kablan. Or can we suggest that he's going to preferably go after the Loiva, and even though he only has Idjus, he'll have to make a deal on the Idjus versus going after Arif Kablan for Beinonis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Uman, we've discussed quite often in our parak already that a Uman and an Oris can't achieve a Chazaka. But says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Uman, an Uman doesn't have a Chazaka, as the Mishnah and Daf Mem Beis taught us, but Ben Uman, his son, Ben Uman, Yesh Shloi Chazaka. And we don't say, well, the son is an extension of the father, and if the father doesn't have a chazaka, the son won't have a chazaka. Similarly, an oris we've been learning, ain't like chazaka, doesn't have chazaka. Then oris yesh le chazaka, he does have a chazaka. The Rishonim debate, what type of property are we speaking about? Some say we're talking about karka, some say we're talking about matatlin. And the easiest way of learning the Gemara, which is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is that we're speaking about Matatlin. Gazlin, as we've been discussing in our Shiurim as well, a Gazlin, a person who's known to be a thief, ain't like Chazaka, doesn't have a Chazaka, because we don't believe that he has it because he got it legitimately. And Uben Gazlin, his son, also ain't like Chazaka. However, Ben Benoisha Gazlin, his grandson, yesh le Chazaka. So the Gemara drills down to understand these halachas. Hechidam, exactly what is the case? If the son of the Uman and the son of the Oris are just representing that this was by their father, why? Then they shouldn't have to have a chazaka either. And if what they're claiming has no connection to the father, so then ask the Gemara Fila ben Agazlan, then even the son of a Gazlan, who is on this property, not connected to his father in any way, should have a chazaka. Answers the Gemara Letzricha, we're speaking about a case, the Ka'amri Edom, that were Edom who are testifying, b'feneinu hoideloi, the person who's complaining about this object that belonged to the father, says that the person who's making this issue is saying that he sold it to him. Hanach, so by the son of the Uman and the Oris that bring Edom, Iklamem Kush to Kamri, we could say that they're saying the truth, that the father who is the Oris, the father who is the Uman, are saying that their parents bought this object from the person who's the Marakama or the Ma'arer, and there's no problem in saying this. And ask Tysus, if they have Edom, why are we having a discussion here? So explains Tysus, it can't be that the Edom are actually appearing. If they're actually appearing, then there would be no question that they should win the Din Torah. What they're saying is that Edom told us that they know our fathers bought it, but they're not here present personally. Hi, but when we speak about the son of a Gazlan, Afgav the Oide, and the way we're learning the Gemara now, it's very geschmack. Even if he's representing that Edom told him that his father had bought it, Nami Lemahemen, he's not believed. Why? Kirav Kahana. What Rav Kahana told us, the Rav Kahana, Ilav the Oidele. If not, that the person, even if it's true that the person who owned this object originally is saying was Maida, that he owns it, that he sold it, we're not believing when he says it because that's actually what happened. They're only concerned have a mamtele lechamri l'shachfer. He would have done all types of things to make this person lose. He would have reported him to the authorities because the way to Shaitim explained the Gemara, typically, a Gazlan is not a nice person. And he's going to do whatever he needs to do to protect what he stole. And this person whom he stole from is petrified of him. And therefore, because he's petrified, he might have admitted to this, but it's not necessarily true. Amarava. Pamim afilu ben benoish gazlan nami el chazaka. We started this piece of Gemara was saying that even though the son of a gazlan doesn't have a chazaka, the grandson does. But says Rava, sometimes even the grandson doesn't have a chazaka. Hey chidami, when is it that the case? Kegoin the koosi betanos daba v'davua. He's not bringing his father into the picture. He's speaking about his grandfather. So if he would have mentioned his father. So his father was the son of a Gazlan, but his father is not a Gazlan himself. But when if his whole claim is based on his grandfather, his grandfather was a Ganif. And the Gemara explains itself. Hey chidami Gazlan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kegoyin shehuchsuk asad ezu begazlanusa. We know that this person had attempted to steal a property. And the Rishonim debate, the Rashbam and the Rashba discuss, does it have to be that on this field we know he stole, and that's why, because we know he stole this field, that's what makes him into a Gazlan? Or it doesn't have to be this specific field that's under discussion. The fact that we know that this person is a Gazlan is enough to discredit him. Rav Chisda Amar, Rav Chisda says, going to base Pliny, Shahargan Nafash Saleski Mammon. We know that this family, a violent family, and what they do is that the Rishoyim and everybody is aware of their terrible behavior, that's a Gazlan. Tanabonim. Uman, as we've been learning in our shir, Uman ain't lechazaka, Uman doesn't have a chazaka. However, Yard Mumnasai, if Yard Menasa, if he no longer has the has that position anymore, Yeshloi Chazaka, he could have a Chazaka based on what he has now, even if he was originally an Uman. Aris similarly, Aris Ein Chazaka, an Aris doesn't have a Chazaka. However, in a situation where Yard Merisasai, where he doesn't have that position, he gets chazaka. Ben Shechalik, if you have a son who's no longer being supported by his father, v'ishishin is garsha, or a wife who's divorced from a husband, harei and kishakol adam, they're not considered in any way connected to the father, connected to the husband, and therefore they are not considered individuals that have. They're not considered anymore individuals that don't have a chazaka. What's going to be the halacha? The Gemara spoke about the gazlan that everybody knows he's a gazlan. What's going to be the halacha discusses the Torah if the gazlan did tshuva. So the Torah says that even if we never saw him return property that he stole, we could believe him because that's what tshuva represents. The Prisha says, the Rav Chisda said, what's the definition of a gazlan? Somebody's hargan nefashis aliske momen. We know that he's a person that's ready, that has no problem to kill for momen. And the Prisha says, let's say we know an individual's a gazlan, but we don't know if he ever did violence. What is the halacha? So the Prisha says that the rule is that if there's somebody who is accused of being a gazlan, is known to be a gazlan, then the assumption is that he does violence as well, because they travel to get together. Moreover, I saw that the Rishonim debate, the Gemara gave two explanations of who is a gazlan. And the question is, are they arguing or they're really not arguing? The Ramban's opinion is that they're arguing. The other Rishonim say that they're not arguing. And we could perhaps explain that machloikis, as follows. It depends. If we're saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan Kigon Shechokzik Al Sada Zubigazal Nusoy, we know he stole this property. So then there's a machlokes. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to know the property that we're talking about is the property that he stole. The fact, that's the only way we know he's a gazlan. And Rav Chisda says, we don't have to know about this specific property. But if Rabbi Yochanan, when he says that we know he stole a property, doesn't necessarily mean the property that's in front of us. We know that he's stolen properties. The fact, then he's saying essentially the exact same thing as Rav Chisda, as the Ramban suggests. The Shulchan Aruch discusses, we've been discussing all sorts of individuals, an Uman, an Aris, who originally can't have a Chazaka, but then their status changes. What's going to be the halacha if you have an individual who's a Nachri? And of course, while somebody's a Nachri, he can't achieve a Chazaka. And then he was Nizgayer. And the halacha is, so now, and he has this property for 3 years. Will that chazaka work? And the Shulchan Aruch says that even though a Nachri has no chazaka, so he didn't begin on this property with chazaka, but the halacha is that if he becomes a Ger and is on the property for 3 years, then the halacha is that he will have a chazaka. And the Gra says that the source for that halacha is our Gemara, just like an Uman could achieve a chazaka if he walks away from being an Uman, and an Aris could achieve a chazaka if he's no longer an Aris. The Rashbam, when he speaks about what the Gemara just said, that the husband is no longer with the wife, and the son is no longer with the father, it's speaking about a situation where they separated. But the Rishonim, the Rebbeinu Baruch, adds a knetch. He says, even if they separated because the father gave the son some assets, gave him money, and said, you're on your own, And so he's really on his own because of what his father gave him. He's still considered as not anymore connected to his father, and he will be believe. Of course, the Ritva says that if they come back, then they lose that independence. Says the Gemara, Bishlam ben Shecholik, to tell us the halacha that a son who's no longer supported by his father could say edus regarding chazaka itzrich. Sakdat chamina chulagabe lebei, because even though they're not connected financially anymore, it's still a father and a son. And therefore, we should say that the father, the son should not be believed, or the father should not be believed. Kamash Malon Deloy. Elish Nizgarsha, if this couple, asked the Gemara, got divorced, so of course they're completely disconnected. If they're completely disconnected, Pshita, that the Allah is obvious that they're not connected, then they could say Edis about a Chazaka. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, speaking about a case, a Megureshes, Ven Megureshes. They're not completely divorced. What does that mean? Kareb Zeira, Dom Reb Zeira, Om Reb Yimri, Ba'aba, Om Mishmu, Kamakmash Amr Chachamim. There are cases in Halacha where they're Megureshes, Ven Megureshes. They're not really divorced, they're not really not divorced. And in such cases, Bala Chayiv, B'mezunasaha, the husband still has to support her. So the case, typically in Shas, is where a get was thrown to a woman. Safakar of law is safakar of law. And we're not sure to whom was it closer, to him or to her. So since we don't know if she's no longer in the status of being an Eishes Ish or she's not in the status of Eishes Ish, then the halacha is that the husband has to treat her as if they're still married and has to support her. But Tosfos says that when do we say this, that she could still say testimony on behalf of the husband, even though she's being supported by the husband? That's only in a situation where he designated a piece of property from which he's supporting her. So she knows that she is supported by the husband, and since she's being supported by the husband, from that property, she doesn't feel reason not to say that what is the truth. But if there's no specific property from where she's being supported, so then she may have a concern that she wants her husband to have more assets that she could guarantee support from, and therefore under those circumstances, the Rishonim debate if she's in this situation, can she speak about a chazaka or not? And the debate really is as follows. On one hand, she's divorced, and this couple is not in a good place. They just have to do the get over, but right now, they're obviously not in a good place, and therefore there's no concern, there should be no concern that she's going to do anything on his behalf. On the other hand, an argument could be made that she does very much rely on his support, and since she's relying on his support, she will want him to have as many assets as possible. So the Gemara is saying for certain that if he identified a place from where she's being supported, so she doesn't feel any concern and she'll say the truth because there's no strong connection between this couple. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna. Rav Huna told me kulon, all of the cases that we've been speaking about, going back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis and Oris and Umin and Shutif, that don't have a chazaka, shevi raya, if they bring a raya, Rayos and Raya, the Raya that they bring is considered valid. And if the Raya says that that the person on the field should keep the field, we accept that testimony. Gazlan Shevi Raya, but if a Gazlan brings a Raya, Ain Rayos and Raya, the Raya that he brings is discounted. We don't leave it. Because, as we said earlier this year, even if they're able to bring a raya, the raya might have been achieved under duress. And since the raya might have been achieved under duress, that's why the halacha is that it's not considered a good raya. The Rishbam says, when the Gemara says here that the raya is not a good raya, is if they bring a shtar. So we have to be concerned, or sometimes by Gazan we have to be concerned we have to be concerned that that shtar is not something that we want to rely on. But if it's a Edom we always rely on. Ask the Gemara, Kamashmalon, what is Rav Huna teaching us that we haven't Tanina, that we haven't learned already in a Mishnah, in Masech the Gittin, Daf Nun Hayim Beis? The Mishnah speaks about Lokach, if somebody bought a property that belonged to a Jew, Mr. Krikin, those who were Nochrim, that were murderers, extortionists, the Chaz of a Lokach Mi Balabais. And then he bought that same property from the original owner, Mechabotel. The sale is not considered a valid sale, because the person took it from the real owner under duress. And the reason we have to think that this Jew now agreed to sell it to this person, to this other Yisrael, is only because he's scared what will the Sekrikin do to him. So we see from here that we're always scared of Sekrikin. We're always scared of these type of people, and therefore we can't use any shtar that comes around this property as reliable. Answers the Gemara, what Rav Huna was trying to teach us was lefukim of the Rav, to teach us that he doesn't agree with Rav. Dama Rav, lo shana del damalei, when is the halacha that we don't count, we don't give any significance to the sale that this Jew is, that the original owner is doing on this property, when he told him lei chazek v'knei, because he said it only because he's scared. Avol shtar, but if there was a shtar, the fact that he didn't just say it, he committed it to a shtar, that should be rai dakana. Kamashman k'le Shmuel. The Gemara wants to teach us that the halacha is a Shmuel. Dama af b'shtar, even if there's a shtar, Loikana, it's not a proof that there really was a seriousness. Only ad sheyichtav achrayis nechasim. Because if he's going to write a shtar, that if the person who is buying this property from him, he will be able to go after, if he will lose the property, he'll be able to go after his lekuchis, that shows that it's a serious shtar. Rabibi Mesayim b'mishmed Rav Nachman, and says the Gemara, Rabibi said in the name of Rav Nachman, karka eloi, that this person doesn't have karka, avol mos yeshloi. That the halacha is that if you bring a proof when it was a gazlin, you're not entitled to the karka, but you are entitled to the money that is indicated that you paid. The medvam amurim, when, if you have edim, is that the case? Kisha amru edim afenenu manala, that in front of us the money was counted. Avl amru b'fenenu hoideloi, if they just say that he's going to pay, but we never saw him pay loy. Kirav ka'ana dama ilav da oideloi, because the fact that he said that I'm getting paid doesn't mean he's getting paid, that I got paid. He only said he's getting paid because he's scared that if he won't say that, have a mamtelei l'dedei l'chamrei l'shachfer. He's concerned, as we learned earlier in the shir, that what will this person do to him? And therefore, since he's concerned what that person is going to do to him, then the sale is not a sale. Therefore, we can't be certain that the money was really paid. Al Gemara spoke about a case where you bought something from somebody who got it under duress. How does the halacha look at that situation? The Shas Tshuvas Masas Binyamin discusses the following situation. We know that the Minig Yisrael is that everybody sells their chametz either directly or through a rov to a nochri before Pesach. And what happened was, and after Pesach, the nochri, so to speak, sells back that chametz to the Yisrael who sold it to him. And what happened was that there's another Yisrael who wants to act in a very unacceptable manner, and he goes to the nochri and says to the nochri, this was particularly in the world that they lived in, where most people sold the chametz to the nochri directly. It did not go through the rabbanim. Instead of selling the chametz back to the Yisrael who sold it to you, sell it to me. And the question is, what he discusses, is this considered a situation of sekrikin? Somebody who does this is like a gazlan who went and is trying to buy back the chametz that really was sold by another person. So he discusses this halacha, and he says that A, he compares it to sekrikin, And the Magen Avraham takes it even a step further, which is a very bechiddush in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that when you sell the chametz to the Nachri, there's a stipulation that if the Nachri is not going to want to keep the chametz and he's going to sell it back, he has to sell it back to the original owner. And therefore, he may not, the sale to somebody else is not a valid sale. The Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe, in Or Chaim Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, says that he's not convinced that this is the same as a Sakrikin. Sakrikin is a situation, as we're learning in our Gemara, the person is a dangerous person. In this case, it's not necessarily a situation of Sakrikin. The Aloch is that this, and therefore you can't compare it to Sakrikin, but he still agrees that you shouldn't sell it and that the sale to another Jew who tried to trick the original Jew is unacceptable.